The East Belfast UVF said 20 once prominent members of the organisation have been expelled for drug dealing. In an official statement to the Sunday Life, the Loyalist Gang denied involvement in the drugs trade.
They then announced over the weekend that 20 prominent members have been expelled for drug dealing and that they were committed to an anti-drug stance now and that their position mirrored that of the Shankill Road leadership, who have been for quite a while declaring an anti-drugs position.
That's despite claims to the contrary from police and government monitoring groups. They say the UVF is behind all drug dealing in the east of the city.
According to Judge Mark Reel, a Crown Court judge, according to him, what the police are saying is that all drug dealing in East Belfast is connected to the UVF. And that is an absolute damning assessment.
I'm joined by the journalist who broke this story, Kieran Barnes from The Sunday Life. Kieran, you're very welcome to the Bell Tell once again.
Hi, Kieran.
What can you tell us about these expulsions?
Well, the news of the expulsions came at the weekend after there was a court case the previous Friday involving a guy called Rob Osborne, who had been lifted and arrested in a paramilitary crime task force operation against the East Belfast UVF. Osborne was in Belfast Crown Court on Friday past. And Sunday Life were the only media organisation present for the sentencing, and it was significant in that Judge Mark Reel, who sentenced Osborne, stated that the police case would be that whenever there is drug activity in East Belfast, the person involved in it engages in it, either with the consent of the East Belfast UVF to be allowed to do it, or they conduct it on behalf of the East Belfast UVF. Now, that is an absolute damning assessment. What the police, according to Judge Mark Reel, a Crown Court judge, according to him, what the police are saying is that all drug dealing in East Belfast is connected to the UVF. Now, Osborne, the guy who was caught with the cannabis, which was linked to the East Belfast UVF, his sentence was deferred for 6 months to see how he behaves and see how he gets on in that period. A judge will then decide whether he's going to jail him or not. But that came out on the Friday, and my understanding is that then hurried a statement by the East Belfast UVF around drug dealing, which should have been made later in the spring, that prompted them to bring that forward. And they then announced over the weekend that 20 prominent members had been expelled for drug dealing and that they were committed to an anti-drug stance now, and that their position mirrored that of the Shankill Road leadership, who have been for quite a while declaring an anti-drugs position and saying that they have no truck with drug dealers.
For anyone listening, you know, yes, no truck with drug dealers. You know, this mirroring other attempts in the UVF to stamp down on this. Nevertheless, that almost seems incredible in itself when you look at those comments, like behind all drug dealing. Some might suspect it's a PR exercise rather than anything practical, but we understand there have been these expulsions.
Well, it's telling that the statement was hurried forward on the back of a judge in court publicly declaring that the PSNI's position was that all drug dealing in East Belfast is connected to the UVF. UVF came out, they've said they've expelled, East Belfast UVF, they say they've expelled 20 members for drug dealing. But, you know, the cynic in me and the cynic among people and cynic among the public would say, well, have these people only been expelled because they've been caught? The UVF, when from talking to them at the weekend too, they also recognise that in East Belfast there is a problem with drug dealing and drug dealing associated to that organisation. They would complain often that drug dealers in East Belfast are using the East Belfast UVF's name to intimidate people and to be able to sell drugs. Look, what is quite clear is that the East Belfast UVF have a major problem with drug dealing. They have senior members who in the past have been up to their balls in drug dealing. There's drug seizures almost on a weekly basis, which the PSNI are linking to the East Belfast UVF. And in the eyes of many, and not just the public, but in the eyes of other loyalists from other parts of Northern Ireland, they would see the East Belfast UVF as being a drugs gang. And that's an image that, you know, they claim to be, the UVF claim to be an organisation that's fighting for the union, the strength and the Northern Ireland's ties with the union. Yet in the eyes of most people, they see it simply as a drugs cartel. And that's a huge problem for them.
So you mentioned seizures. Can we put a lot of this down then to PSNI successes against the East Belfast UVF? Because, I mean, the PSNI have been criticised in the past for seemingly allowing this organisation to have a free hand, but they do seem to be either clamping down or having successes.
When it comes to the paramilitary crime task force, they're having huge successes. Last year, Sunday Life reported on a story last June that in the previous 12 months, so from May 21 till the end of May 22, the task force had seized more than £1 million worth of drugs, which they publicly linked to the East Belfast UVF, along with £200,000 in criminal cash. And that was that's the most recent figure. But in the period from June 22 up until this point now, the end of March, beginning of April, there's easily been another £1 million seized, which the PSNI have linked to the East Belfast UVF. So the task force has certainly had successes. The task force have brought several drug dealers connected to the East Belfast UVF before the courts and have been sentenced. Guys like the Rainey brothers, Glenn and Mark Rainey, guys like Buff Hunter. There's been Jared Taylor was sentenced, Matthew Long was sentenced, Colin Garrett, who's in court today to be sentenced. So these are all people who the task force have arrested in operations which they publicly linked to the East Belfast UVF. They've all been brought before the courts. They've all pleaded guilty or been found guilty and they're being sentenced. So there's no doubt the task force is having good success. But the one complaint people would have is that all these guys who I've mentioned and who have been sentenced and convicted, they're all mid-level. The boys at the top are still there. You know, the task force and conversations I've had with them, they would identify three individuals who run what they say is the East Belfast UVF drugs empire. And these three individuals are still connected to that organisation and are still walking the streets, living lavish lifestyles, going head to toe in designer clothes, going on expensive holidays, driving the best of cars, and there doesn't seem to be anything done about these guys. And fair enough to the task force, they're getting the mid-level guys, they're getting the lower guys, but the guys at the very top of this food chain, they still exist and they're still living lifestyles far beyond their means.
So let's turn this around slightly. PSNI have publicly linked all drug dealing in East Belfast to the UVF, but can we link all of the UVF in East Belfast to drug dealing, or does there remain a very political UVF?
There is people within the UVF in East Belfast who are highly political. And it would be unfair to say that every single person within the UVF in East Belfast is a drug dealer. I would say that the majority of people who are in the UVF in East Belfast aren't drug dealers. You know, there's people within that organisation who are trying to push it towards a more political group. You know, and all paramilitary organisations, particularly within Lloydism, face this inner challenge at the minute where there are people trying to drive, I'll use East Belfast as an example. There's people within East Belfast who are trying to push East Belfast UVF away from criminality and they're trying to transition it towards a more community-orientated organisation. And the UVF are trying that as a whole. They've got an initiative called the ACT Initiative, which is the Action for Community Transformation. And it's trying to morph the UVF into almost like an old boys network. And they've been backed by the government. They've received hundreds of thousands of pounds of government funding and community funding to attempt this. Now, in East Belfast, the East Belfast UVF was always an outlier. They have about 1,000 members and affiliates, so they would be the biggest brigade within the UVF. And they've always acted independently. Even during the Troubles, the East Belfast UVF looked after its own prisoners. It's always been, in a way, it's always been like a satellite organisation from the rest of the UVF. So, and when the UVF got involved with the Loyalist Communities Council and they got involved with ACT and they got involved with getting government funding for projects which they supported, the East Belfast UVF didn't. They were always separate. They were always an outlier. They'd done their own thing. But now, following that statement at the weekend, it appears that the East Belfast UVF is coming on board with this process. You know, they have said there has been significant progress made in the past number of years in regards implementing a process of transition. However, it is accepted that more work needs to be done in the coming months. This process will continue. So, you know, there's an argument there that perhaps the Doves are starting to win. Perhaps the Doves are getting on top of the Hawks and they're being successful in pushing the UVF towards a more community-focused organisation and away from the crime and away from the paramilitarism. But then there's also people who will say, look, you know, we've heard this all before. you know, is this the UVF? And this is a fair question. Is this the UVF just saying this and paying lip service to this in order for them to continue the pocket money from racketeering and drug dealing?
I suppose the question is, I mean, for God and Ulster and presumably for the community in East Belfast, I mean, for a lot of people looking in, you know, extortion and drug dealing do not help your own community because presumably most of the drugs are sold in East Belfast.
Yeah, they would be. And, you know, people are dying of overdoses. You're people who are addicted to drugs and committing crime as a result of their addictions to drugs because they need money to feed those addictions. And, you know, it's drugs destroy communities. There's no doubt about it. You know, there's no argument in that. So if you have an organisation which is benefiting and profit from the drugs trade, it isn't a community-focused organisation. It's an organisation which is destroying communities. And that's the problem people within the UVF and East Belfast are, and ones who genuinely want the change, they're having to tackle that now and have to look and say, well, we need to stamp out the drug dealing. But the problem with that is, this is a multi-million pound industry. This is a crime, drug dealing, cocaine dealing particularly, that's making people in East Belfast millions of pounds each year. Millions, and I'm not exaggerating. You know, when you look at the amount of drugs that's being seized by the task force, they aren't seizing 10 grand and 15 grand. Start of the week, they got over £100,000 worth of drugs in East Belfast. When they caught Colin Garrett, who was caught last year and he's being sentenced today, they lifted him £180,000 worth of cocaine. So these are huge amounts of drugs. These aren't insignificant amounts. So this is a multi-million pound industry which has made people fat bank accounts and big cars and luxury holidays and designer clothes. And they don't want to give up that lifestyle. They don't want to give up that coin and that earning. So you've got this battle now within the UVF and other, and I will say other paramilitary organisations in Northern Ireland, where the people who want to push it in a political and community direction are finding their efforts curbed by these people who do not want to give up these lavish lifestyles.
Now, these paramilitaries, the UVF exists to defend the union. Mm-hmm. They originally were established to prevent home rule. Clearly the UVF have killed an awful lot of people in the name of that cause. But I suppose, to be very cynical again, people might say, well, you know, if you're making an awful lot of money about cocaine and there, you know, why would you risk that on some, you know, sort of political action? And I just wonder, are there links outside of loyalism to Dublin-based gangsterism, to people from a nationalist background?
Well, the majority of drugs that come in the Northern Ireland come via the South. You know, and go back to Colin Garrett's case, the guy who's being sentenced today, the cocaine he was caught with was ferried to him in a taxi from Dublin to Ballybean in East Belfast. And there was a guy who was arrested in the taxi, a guy called David Gent, and he's being sentenced today as well. But the drugs came from Dublin. The biggest supplier of cocaine in Belfast would be a gang based in West Belfast. They're known as the Tarmackers in the media, and they're known as the Tarmackers by people over in West Belfast too. And they're a gang of people from a Republican heartland in West Belfast, and they're supplying. They've got what would be known as the Kinnan contract. The stuff comes up from Dublin, they get it and they distribute it. And among their customers would be the East Belfast UVF, the South East Antrim UDA. You know, gangs which proclaim that they want to, you know, they want to defend the union and they want to take the fight to Republicans if Republicans ever, you know, harm loyalists, and yet they're being supplied by drug dealers from a Republican heartland.
Is there anything we should have talked about that we didn't?
Well, one thing I would say too is that this, when it comes to transitioning, and this transition in which the East Belfast UVF are saying that they're going through, and which they referenced in the statement, the reason why people are cynical about it is, we had the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. It's coming up to the 25th anniversary. We had the ceasefires in 1994, which was 29 years ago. This transition period has lasted as long as the Troubles. You know, in a way, it's probably lasted longer because it's been the ceasefires were 29 years ago. The Good Friday Agreement was 25 years ago. Troubles only lasted 25 years. So you really telling me that a transition period is going to take longer than the actual conflict did? It's madness. This transition period should have been dealt with within a decade. It should have been dealt with 10 years ago. And the fact that 25 years on from the Good Friday Agreement and almost 30 years on from the ceasefires, the government is still paying groups linked to paramilitaries to convince those paramilitaries to go out of business. It's absolutely crazy that the transitionary period has taken longer than the period of conflict. It's madness, and politicians need to weigh up, and government bodies need to weigh up and say, look, we need to put a deadline on this. This cannot go on forever. And the moment that they do that, I do think it'll give the people within these paramilitary organisations at the top and who, you know, who are happy with this process of transition because it, you know, puts money in their some of their pockets, it'll give them the kick up the bum that they need to go, right, okay, this needs to stop.
There's a picture of a young man in front of you. Yeah. He has no memory of the Troubles. You know, is that part of the problem that he may well have been born, I'm not sure, after the ceasefires or certainly at the same time. So it almost seems like we're talking about something entirely new has grown here.
He was born in 1982. And again, it's this guy, Colin Garrett, who's being sentenced today. But you know, I'm looking at a picture of him here. And this is a guy who was caught with £180,000 worth of UVF, East Belfast UVF cocaine. Now, he's smiling in the photograph. And I'm not surprised he's smiling because he's wearing a £1,300 Canada Goose Parker, a pair of £700 Balenciaga trainers, a £300 Dolce & Gabbana t-shirt and jeans that cost £500, also from Dolce & Gabbana. So the entire outfit cost them £2,800. Now, loyalist prisoners, ex-loyalist prisoners, ex-UVF prisoners, people from like the Newton Arch Road, from the Craigie, from Dundonald, they're sitting looking at this picture and going, there's an East Belfast UVF drug dealer. He's hid a ton designer gear, which cost him £2,800. Now, for many people, that would be their wage for 2 months. You know, and how can you square that circle? How can you expect loyalists in East Belfast to have any faith in an organisation when it's seeing their drug dealers head to toe in designer gear, the coat, the t-shirt, the jeans and the trainers are worth more than they would earn in a month. And not only that, when the Rainey brothers were sentenced last year, Mark and Glenn Rainey, for cocaine dealing in East Belfast, and again, East Belfast UVF linked cocaine dealing, Glenn Rainey boasts in text messages, the East is the best place to be for coke dealers. He tells his customers that in text messages, and that came out in court. And also what came out in court is another text message between Mark, the older brother, and Glenn Rainey, where Mark accuses Glenn Rainey of blowing £30,000. Yeah, I get a good wage in here, but I don't have the capability of blowing £30,000. How many people in Northern Ireland have the capability of blowing £30,000? And you have these two idiots from down the lower Newton Arch Road who barely worked a day in their lives, and they're throwing money about like confetti. You know, and the same court also heard how Glenn Rainey loved to travel the world, including regular trips to Thailand. I've never been to Thailand. I couldn't afford to go to Thailand.
But you can see why this is so attractive as a way of life.
Exactly. And I'm a working man. And, you know, I get paid above the Northern Ireland wage, but I couldn't afford to go to Thailand. And here's a drug dealer. Right, again, a bum from East Belfast. He's never worked a day in his life. And he's throwing £30,000 around. He's boasting about how East Belfast is the best place to deal coke. And he's going on regular trips to Thailand. You know, and how galling must that be for people down at Pitt Park where he's from to see that there and know that the only reason why he's able to do that is because he has connections to East Belfast UVF. And is it any wonder people in East Belfast and beyond look at this organisation and go, drugs cartel? Now, I do accept there are people there within that organisation who are trying to transition away from that and trying to improve the image and get it away from crime. And I really sincerely hope, I do, for the sake of people in the areas where this gang holds sway, I really hope that they're successful.
Kieran Barnes, Chief Reporter of The Sunday Life. Thank you.
Thanks.